In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. With a humble spirit and contrite heart, may we be accepted by thee, O Lord, and may our sacrifice be so offered this day in thy sight as to please thee, O Lord God. The words of today's epistle, the lesson from the third chapter of the book of Daniel, could well be recited by anyone as a prayer of preparation for Holy Mass, especially by the priest who is to celebrate the Mass. For to crown this prayer of Azarias in the Old Testament is the portion which is taken and placed in the offertory of the Roman Mass, the part which I have just quoted for you now. For the priest recites this portion of the prayer of Azarias during the offertory before proceeding to the washing of his hands. In these final days of Lent, the thoughts of the Church have been very much on the increase of her numbers through the Holy Sacrament of Baptism. And that thought is there as yet today. For today, the cry of Azarias is, O Lord, today we are diminished more than any nation and are brought low in all the earth because of our sins. But remember thy promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that thou wouldst multiply their seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand on the seashore. Today there is neither prince, nor leader, nor prophet, nor holocaust, nor sacrifice, nor oblation, incense, any place of first fruits before thee. Azariah speaks of the time of the Babylonian captivity, and the Church takes this lesson today because even more than thinking about the increase of her numbers through baptism, today, Holy Mother Church invites all penitents to return to being faithful observers of the new covenant and its promises. For these were always the two things that took place during Lent: the preparation of catechumens for baptism and the reconciliation of those who had betrayed Christ's covenant. This is why we begin by singing during today's Mass in the introit, All that thou hast done, O Lord, thou hast done rightly, in good judgment. For thy judgment is right. We have not obeyed thy commandments. Nevertheless, show mercy to us now, according to the mercy, the multitude of thy tender compassion. The words of this prayer today recall also the words of mournful David after the greatest sin and treachery of his life, when he composed the greatest of all the penitential psalms, the 50th psalm, the Miserere, which we hear so often through Lent. We begin every day in the morning office of the Church with this penitential psalm, and during the final days of Lent, during the sacred Triduum, it is required to recite this psalm as part of every hour of prayer of the Church. This is when David, having nothing else to appeal to, no good works on his part, can only cry out to God, Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy great mercy. What sort of sacrifice does he have to offer? He declares already in the time of the old law that the sacrifices of the old law will not obtain for him the forgiveness of his sins. The only thing pleasing to God is a contrite and humble heart. Sacrificium Deus Spiritus Contribulatus. A sacrifice to God is a heart troubled and laid low. A humble and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In the time of the New Covenant, when the number of Christians throughout the world is so little, because all of the Christian nations have today turned their back on the law of Christ, once again, we realize that there are no earthly sacrifices to offer. The Old Testament is come to a close. The only worthy sacrifice is the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, perpetuated every day on the holy altar of the New Testament and the sacrifice of the Mass. And the only way that the merits of this sacrifice can be applied to us is by approaching it with a humble and contrite heart. This is why the model presented to us today is that of Mary Magdalene. For unlike the one who receives our Lord today into his house, it is Mary who places herself at his feet and anoints him and washes his feet with her tears. And this is why our Lord declares many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much. The text can be taken, and indeed is taken, both ways. For to follow the parable of our Lord, which he tells of the two debtors, the one who is forgiven more is the one who is more grateful to the creditor. It would seem then, if we were to follow that line of reasoning, the proper way to translate this last portion of what our Lord says is, many sins are forgiven her, seeing that she loves so much. In other words, the love she shows is evidence of how much she has been forgiven. And certainly this is very true. Nevertheless, the way it is translated by our Holy Latin version is also correct. That is to say, it is the virtue of charity in our souls which obtains the forgiveness of sins. Even though for it to be true contrition, this sorrow for our sins, which comes from charity, must also be tied to the virtue of justice. That is, it must include the firm purpose of amendment, and the firm purpose to unite ourselves with the sacrifice of Christ by atoning for our sins. Tonight, then, at Holy Mass, let us unite ourselves especially with these most beautiful prayers, which we know so well because of the place they have found in our holy liturgy, and beg of God the grace of true contrition and firm purpose of amendment, that we may join those holy penitents of times past who were reconciled to God during this time, obtain the forgiveness of their sins, and life everlasting. Amen.